All rise. Oye, oye, oye. The United States Court of Appeals for Veterans' Claims is now in session. The Honorable Coral Wong Peach presiding. All who have business before this court draw near and you will be heard. God bless the United States and this Honorable Court. Please be seated.
Good morning. I'm Judge Peach, and I'm joined by Judge Allen to my right and Judge Lauer to my left. We are convened today to consider arguments in the matter of Jeffrey K. Lyle versus Dennis McDonough, Secretary of the Veterans Affairs, case number 21-6977. Will counsel, beginning with appellate's counsel, please enter your appearance? And will you be reserving time?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Jennifer Hamill and Drew Silo for the Secretary.
Thank you. Okay. Counsel for the appellate, you may begin.
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the court. The case before you today is about whether the board, when finding that Mr. Lyle's prior history of misdemeanor crimes would have prevented his enlistment, and thus that he is not entitled to VA benefits as a matter of law, misapplied the provisions of 38 CFR section 3.14A, B, and 3.12K. We ask the court to hold in this case that where a claimant has an uncharacterized administrative separation from the military prior to October 1st, 1982, and where that claimant has not been statutorily prohibited from enlistment, that the court must analyze whether that person has achieved veteran status under 38 CFR 3.14A. Here, the board erred because it believed that Mr. Lyle fell into section 3.14B. But that part of the regulation only applies where an enlistment is voided by the service department due to a felony.
Could I just stop you there? You said the board found that he was under B.
Yeah.
I didn't read the board decision as really getting too much into 3.41A versus 3.41B. It seemed to jump to 3.12D. Where in the board decision did the board actually find that he falls under B? And the reason I'm asking is, if that's the case, then it seems to me the board correctly applied the law and the question, meaning it had correctly identified the correct legal principle, and our review would be for clear error. I was under the impression that the board had not, in fact, applied the correct regulation other than perhaps citing it. But if your position here is today that the board correctly identified 3.14 as the central point and it put the conduct here into B, then I'll take your concession and I'll decide the case on that basis. But that's not how I read the board decision. So I need to have your position on that.
Okay. The board found that while an entry-level separation is generally considered a discharge under conditions other than dishonorable and therefore would not be a bar to benefits, that a discharge for concealment of a conviction by civil court which would have prevented enlistment will be held to be under dishonorable conditions and therefore a bar to VA benefits, and it's cited to 3.14 A and B.
A and B.
Yes, so the board cited to 3.14 A, but it kind of miscited it because it was really citing what 3.14B said.
So why would the discussion of the character of discharge be what 3.14 is about? At least as I read 3.14, it says VA, the service department's going to decide if an enlistment is void. If it's void and you fall within the terms of B, then we're just done because we just pretend that you never entered, for my words, not the regulation. If you fall within A, then there's a period of service that then you need to characterize, right? If it's not characterized, and assuming we're not after 1982 when so K comes into being. I had read the board decision as sort of conflating those two things, right? Because it's talking about a dishonorable discharge. At the same time, it seems to be deciding about the void enlistment. How do you read the decision?
So I think that they are applying Section 3.14B, and the board is saying is basically saying that a concealment of a conviction by a civil court falls under 3.14B, which is the part of the regulation that talks about statutory prohibitions. And I read that section as you do, that basically if you fall under a statutory prohibition, then you aren't entitled to the benefits based off your voided enlistment. So I think they are saying that he falls into 3.14B, but our argument is that he does not fall into 3.14B because nowhere in that section does it say that someone is statutorily prohibited from enlisting based on concealing previous misdemeanor.
And so where in the record I looked to try to find where in the record it everybody treats these convictions as misdemeanors, and they appear based on the amount of time given to be that. But is there something in the record that shows that these are misdemeanors? Because in reading the California Penal Code, it looked like these might be what are called wobbler offenses, meaning that they can either be treated as a misdemeanor or treated as a felony, depending on the facts.
Right. So there is that November 1979 FBI report that, again, showed he had been convicted of larceny and disturbing the peace. Let me just grab some.
I mean, this may be neither here nor there because everybody treats this as being misdemeanors, but I looked and I just couldn't find anything that actually established that they were in fact misdemeanors.
Yeah, I think there was something in the record that characterized them that way.
Well, don't take up your time now.
Okay,
perhaps
I can
if
that for you.
Well, I was going to say perhaps you could either on rebuttal do that or otherwise with the concurrence of the panel, maybe just submit a letter with the point.
I do think that if that were the circumstance and it wasn't clear whether they were misdemeanors, I mean, the board did characterize them as misdemeanors and the civil conviction. And so I think that would have to be a factual finding that the board would have to make regardless. So as I was saying, the board cited to 38 CFR 3.14A and B, but nowhere in 3.14A and B does it state that a concealment of a conviction by civil court or a misdemeanor would have prevented enlistment, or that this type of concealment will be held under dishonorable conditions. Moreover, the board found that Mr. Lau could not receive VA benefits in part because his undesirable discharge by reason of fraudulent enlistment voids the enlistment from the beginning, citing to 3.14B. But Mr. Lau did not receive an undesirable discharge. His DD-214 reflects that he received an uncharacterized discharge. And again, 3.14B only applies to statutory prohibitions. There's no statutory prohibition currently in the law that regarding concealment of a conviction by civil court. So what the board should have done in this case is properly applied 38 CFR section 3.14A, which states that where an enlistment is voided by the service department for reasons other than those stated in paragraph B of this section, service is valid from the date of entry upon active duty to the date of voidance by the service department. And while the introductory sentence of 3.14 states that service is valid unless the enlistment is voided by the service department, regulations have to be read as a whole. And when you read the section as a whole, the subsections are there to explain introductory sentence and to explain the purpose of the regulation.
But doesn't his DD-214, reflect that he has no active service? He has zero? How would subsection A apply?
Yes, Your Honor. So his, if you look at his D-214, it does have under net active service 0 days. But it's my understanding, so we know Mr. Lyle did, he was in the U.S. Army, right? We have his service personnel records. We have his service treatment records. We have his D-214. He has a date he entered active duty. He has a date he separated. So we know he was there. So we also know that he has avoided enlistment. And so it's my understanding that when there is avoided enlistment, the DOD puts that there's 0 days of service. But I don't think that that necessarily matters in this case, especially because VA has chosen to create 3.14A. It has chosen to create a way for people who served in the military, who have voided enlistment, for them to still receive VA benefits.
Judge Peach's question was one that I was going to ask both parties, so I want to just, and you gave an answer here, but I want to make sure that it's clear. Is it your understanding that every time a service department voids an enlistment, there is a notation of 0 days or of service, or is there some other process that's done? And to follow up, what do you base your understanding on?
So I can say I'm not 100% sure that in every circumstance they put zero. I did some research into it. I looked at like other departments of the military and kind of the instructions that they give for when they give certain codes or when they release someone. One of them was fraudulent entry, and it basically said once you do that, then in box, 12C, you put 0000.
So that's the Army regulation you're referencing.
I think that was I'm not sure if it was the Army that I was looking at. I can.
Yeah, Appendix 2 of the Secretary's.
Oh no, that I'm not I wasn't referencing that. I didn't append it to. It was just kind of in my ancillary research. I'm not 100% sure if that's the case, but I also think that, again, I'm not sure that the putting the 0 days is necessarily dispositive in this case or would preclude Mr. Lyle from his case being being done through 3.14A.
No, my question wasn't directed at whether it would be dispositive. Perhaps it is, perhaps it isn't, right? But if, in fact, let's just take a hypothetical, that, and this is something I'm going to ask Secretary's counsel as well. If we assume that other than a mistake, whenever a service department voids an enlistment, they are supposed to write zero for that, right? Let's just assume that is the state of the world. Mm-hmm. My question then is there ever a situation in which 3.14 would ever be applied, right? Because if the writing of the zero is dispositive somehow, and if we are always going to write a zero, then I'm trying to think of a situation in which 3.14 would ever be applicable. You see what I mean? This is a helpful question for you, by the way. Okay, yeah. You're looking like it's not. This is helpful. It's one that I'm giving the Secretary a chance to think about before she gets up and has to do it on the fly.
I'm not entirely sure what you're asking.
I'm asking, can you think of a situation if writing a zero is dispositive and you're supposed to write a zero every single time, can you think of a situation in which 3.14 would ever be applicable?
Oh, no.
I can't either, and that's what I'm going to ask the Secretary. So. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let me ask this question. If there were days designated in the DD-214 indicating how many days or years, the length of service, what is your opinion then that the VA should do in a case where it was fraudulent and therefore voided, but it reflected some days there? Then is it your position or opinion that the VA could look at those days and determine the character of those days of service?
Yes. So the way I read 3.1 for A is it doesn't have any sort of requirement for like net service on a DD-214. So I think, again, if we're in a world where 3.12K doesn't exist because it's an administrative separation prior to October 1st, 1982, we're dealing with avoided enlistment. I think 3.14A would apply. And I think the sentence in that regulation that said, this says benefits may not be paid, however, unless the discharge is held to have been under conditions other dishonorable. In that circumstance, as well as Mr. Lyle's, and they would have to make a factual determination regarding whether they thought that the conditions were other than dishonorable, because we're talking about an uncharacterized period of service.
So Mr. Lyle obviously appealed to the Army Board of Correction for Military Records, contesting the nature of his discharge, if you will, the DD-214. Today, is there anything in the DD-214 that is part of the record that the appellant is saying is inaccurate, false, misleading? Is there any challenge to how the service reached the determination to include in the various blocks the information that was provided?
No.
Okay. If I could give you a hypothetical here. So let's say that the court agreed with the appellant that the board incorrectly decided that this fell under 3.14B, even though the board decision seems to go back and forth referencing both A and B at points A or B. But let's say for the sake of this hypothetical that the court agreed with you. If we were to change the hypothetical in saying that instead of concealing a civilian conviction, it was concealing a physical or mental defect, which per the regulation states that will be held to be under dishonorable conditions. So would there be a question here if, rather than a civilian conviction that was concealed, or two convictions actually, that it was some physical or mental defect?
Well, the regulation says generally discharge for those would have been, will be held under dishonorable condition. So I think the board would still have to make a factual determination in that case, if those were the circumstances.
Okay, so the position is that it would still have to be something that the board addressed.
Yes.
Because of the use of the word generally. So.
Yes.
Thank you.
But do you get to that if there's, you would get to that only if there were days reflected on the DD-214?
That's not the way that I read 3.14K. I think the 0 days are just indicative of an enlistment being voided by the service department. And so according to 3.14A, service would be valid from the date of entry upon active duty to the date of voidance by the service department. And then the board, VA, would have to make a determination regarding what the character of discharge would be.
So the board would make a finding of fact that the individual served X days.
Then
determine the character of those X days.
Right. I think they would have to make a determination, especially like what is the date of voidance by the service department? Is it the separation date on the DD-214? Is it when they originally recommended that he not be retained in the military? I think that would be a factual finding. And then once you make the factual finding about the service period that had been voided, then you would make a factual finding about whether it was under conditions other than dishonorable.
So the appellant's position is that the date listed on the DD-214 for both the entry upon active duty and the voidance of the service department would have to be a factual finding by the board. So the record that we have, whether it's through that or the series of orders that the Army issued in terms of at least establishing the enlistment date, would have to be a finding by the board that the board could not rely on the evidence that's in the record from the service?
No, they could. They could, but they would have to say that's what they were doing because the board never really addressed the 0 days. They never addressed any of this, any of the totality of the D-214. So I think, you know, in these circumstances, they would have to make these findings.
But they could rely on the, I mean, I'm assuming what you're saying is that if the Army says, you know, you entered on day one and then you're separated on day 100, the board can't look behind that, right? I mean, or at least it would have to explain why that's wrong. Maybe it's inconsistent with some other document or something from the Army, right? But you're not saying that the board could ignore what the service said about the entry date versus the exit date.
No.
Okay.
Are there any other questions?
No. Go ahead.
Okay. I think I only have 5 seconds left, but I'll just reserve the rest.
Unless there are any questions on this portion. Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
May it please the court. Pursuant to 38 U.S.C. 1012, the term veteran means a person who served in the active military, naval, or air service, and who was discharged or released therefrom under conditions other than dishonorable. The appellant here, however, seeks VA benefits when the U.S. Army determined that he had 0 days, 0 months, and 0 years of creditable service. Because of appellant's decision to enlist fraudulently, his entire term of service was voided by the service department, and he was released from the custody and control of the United States Army and not discharged.
Could you address the question I posed? That is, what is your understanding when a service department voids an enlistment about the 0 days of creditable service? In other words, is there a situation in which at least it is possible, if you're following a regulation or a rule or whatever, to have a situation that Judge Peach posited, which was avoided enlistment with some days of service listed?
Yes, Your Honor. There are situations where voided enlistments, depending upon how the service department characterizes that portion of what was voided. For example, you'll have an enlistee who enlists in their contract from year one to year four. No problems. Goes into the service, gets honorably discharged, then makes the decision to either take some time off to go back to school or decides to immediately reenlist. Either way, he needs to sign another enlistment contract to continue his period of service.
So there are two different periods of service. Okay, let's take a situation where we have one period of service, person like Mr. Lyle, enters on day one, is separated on day 100 because of fraud, fraudulent enlistment, right? Is there, in a situation like that, is the rule supposed to be that a service department enters 0 days of service? Or are there situations in which they can parse it and somehow say, we're going to give you 5 days of service, even though your entire enlistment is void? Do you see what I mean? And it's okay if the answer to the question is, I don't know. That is entirely fine, because I would then seek some supplemental briefing on this, because this question is important to me. So do you know the answer to that question? So
just to clarify, I think the right terminology, since Mr. Lyle had enlisted as a it would be an enlistment rather than a period of service.
Right.
And contract We have a contract which is for an enlistment, and that can be various terms.
Yes, Your Honor.
But I think just to clarify, the question is, if it, we're talking about a single enlistment, not a re-enlistment,
yes, Your Honor.
But a single enlistment, is there a scenario where the service would put something other than zeros if they were to void the enlistment, including under the Block 12 Record of Service on the DD-214?
And I adopt Captain Lauer's question. So, no.
We're talking about in one enlistment.
Yes, Your Honor. In this exact fact scenario, the service department voided the enlistment in its entirety, so put in 0 days, 0 months, and 0 years of service. The service department makes the determination of the voiding date.
So, no, listen, I got that. Let's just step back, and this is not a challenging question. It might be a difficult question. It doesn't need to challenge you. And again, if the answer is, I don't know, that's okay. Is what happened here, so one enlistment, single enlistment that is voided, is the rule supposed to be that you always put zero in that situation?
I don't know the answer to that, Your Honor, but in this circumstance, that's exactly what happened.
Okay, I'm with you. Okay. Second question. Assume with me just for a moment that the rule is that when an enlistment is voided, you always put zero, right? But that's just assume with me. Are you with me?
I think, Your Honor, I need clarification. When we're talking about avoided enlistments from because of actions prior to enlisting, or we're talking about all voided enlistments under any circumstance where the service department may void an enlistment? I'm a little bit unsure.
Anytime, for any reason, a single enlistment is voided, okay, just assume with me for a moment that the rule in that situation is that the service department writes zero in the appropriate box. Are you with me on my factual premise?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, if that's the case, can you think of any scenario in which VA would do anything under 3.14AB? Because the Secretary's position is, as I understand it, there's a zero for creditable days of service, therefore that's the end of it. If that's the case, and there's always going to be a zero in voided enlistment cases, that's our hypothetical, I can't think of a situation where anybody would ever apply 3.14. Can you?
Your Honor, 3.14 does not statutorily or regulatorily prohibit him from enlisting. He could enlist, and that's exactly what happened. And as appellant's counsel had mentioned in briefing, he could have sought a waiver, and that didn't happen.
Okay, I'm not following that. So what I'm saying is just
I'm coming back to the voiding.
Okay.
As such, there may be circumstances in a void enlistment where the service department or the chain of commands decides during the time of the enlistment not to void the enlistment or to void a partially or to make the decision to give the enlistee an opportunity to continue with the enlistment.
Absolutely. But just assume that we have a situation like this, right? And an enlistment is voided by the service department. And remember our hypothetical, because nobody in this courtroom, or at least nobody has said anything, including me, knows for certain. But let's assume that in every voided enlistment, the service department writes zero creditable days of service. Okay, that's the hypothetical we're working under. In that scenario, I can't see any way that VA would apply 3.14 because there would never be a situation where you could characterize a period because it's a zero. Are you with me?
Yes, Your Honor. I agree with you. Yes.
So if that's right, isn't that like a giant red flag that something in the logic is wrong? Because if there's an entirely detailed regulation and none of us can think of a situation in which it would ever be applied, doesn't that mean there's a problem?
No, Your Honor, because if we go outside of the hypothetical and we assume that there are periods of enlistments that are partially voided, or we have, as I mentioned earlier, different periods of enlistments for a particular person, that is when 3.14 may come into play. But that is up to the service department on how they deem the enlistment itself. If the enlistment is voided partially, which is entirely up to the service department, up to a period of when the misconduct had occurred, then that voided, that part of the enlistment may be valid, and those dates may be inputted on the DD-214.
Is there such a thing as a partially void enlistment?
Yes, Your Honor. There are, because there are circumstances when an enlistment begins properly, signed documents, no issues, and then something occurs, some sort of misconduct, where it renders the rest or the remainder of the enlistment void, whether it's some action, something discovered. But when that second period during the complete enlistment contract, when that second period gets discovered, the service department and the chain of command makes a decision as to whether they're going to make the date avoidance the date of when he gets separated or the date from the beginning. That's entirely up to the service department, upon which VA must adhere to according to the law.
So can you give me an example of something in a single enlistment, right? We're not talking about multiple contracts of enlistment, right? Single enlistment that would void, that would void the enlistment, but not the entire enlistment? Because most, I would think that a void enlistment would almost by definition deal with something that pre-existed the enlistment. I'm trying to think of a scenario in which there could be something new as opposed to something that is uncovered, but something that is literally new that then allows the service to go back and void the enlistment from the beginning. What kind of hypothetical were you thinking about?
Your Honor, based upon my military experience, there are situations where there's some sort of action that's undertaken during the period of enlistment. From that point on, say some sort of incident involving misconduct, some sort of incident involving a psychiatric condition, some sort of incident involving, nonetheless, during the enlistment, where the service department and the chain of command decides that from this point forward, this person cannot serve in the military.
But wouldn't that be just either an administrative separation or something? In other words, if somebody enlists and then along the way turns out that they're committing some misconduct, yeah, you can. There are procedures to cut this off up to and including a court-martial, but I would think that that is different than voiding the enlistment from the beginning.
Yes, Your Honor, I agree. This, which is exactly this situation, we have we have avoidance from the beginning, and the service department made a determination that the avoidance was from the beginning because of the conduct prior to the start of his service. Well, not service, well, the start of his entry into the Army.
Could I put a little twist on that
yes, Your Honor.
Scenario? What if the individual enlisted, but they were a minor? And then sometime during the enlistment period, the person became of his age. Would there be a situation there where maybe the first part was considered not, the part he served as a minor might be void?
Yes.
I mean, is there something, would that be?
Yes, Your Honor. There are clauses in the Army regulation that address when someone is who joins and enlists and is in the minority and could not have the was not of the majority to enter into a contract, and thus that period would be voided, and should this person want to continue their enlistment, may at that point, once they hit the age of majority, re-sign or sign a new enlistment contract when they are capable of and competent to sign the contract to then continue their enlistment within the Army.
So, but you would, the way you've just described that, it sounds to me like what you think could happen is that the period of being a minor would be void, and then a new contract would be executed for enlistment?
It could be voidable. That would be entirely up to the chain of command in the service department.
Oh, okay.
I want to follow up. Actually, this is related to a question Judge Allen had earlier. But so I think the right question is, when you have an enlistment that is voided, can you have included in that qualifying service? So let's say for the sake of discussion that it's a 2 years from the time that the individual enlisted to the time that the individual was separated. But the service voids the contract. So could there be some qualifying service within that period of time? So it's a single enlistment with a start and a stop date with a voided enlistment that could include qualifying service.
Yes, Your Honor, it appears that the service department may make the determination of when the date avoidance would apply when it comes to a singular enlistment period.
I don't understand your answer to Judge Lauer's question in this sense, which is I get that the service department can decide the date of avoidance, right? What are you your position is, I just want to make sure I get this, that your understanding is that let's just assume that somebody enters and 365 days later, I'm just using a year, the service department says your enlistment is void for some reason. Your understanding is, but the service department could nonetheless say, even though the period from the date of your entry to the date of voidance is 365 days, we're going to exercise discretion, and instead of writing zero in the appropriate box, we're going to write 58 days of creditable service. Is that your understanding? Or because earlier you said you weren't sure about if you always had to write zero, and that is a totally acceptable answer because I'm not sure. But if now you're saying yes to Judge Lower's question that there could be the scenario I'm doing, then I'm not sure why your earlier answer was you don't know, because now it seems like you know.
Your Honor, my answer that I don't know whether they always wrote zero was in relation to whether the question that went to your circumstance, which is if it's always zero, do you know if they can ever write something else? And the factual foundation of that hypothetical had to do with if it's always zero and we're assuming it's always zero. I don't know whether they can write something else if the factual scenario is they always write zero. However, I don't know that the factual that underlying fact is true, which is why now I can say to Judge Lohr, I don't know whether the service department may choose to give qualifying time to a particular soldier. But in any circumstance, in this circumstance, the service department declined to validate any part of his service and give him any creditable service.
Right. And on that second point, I think everybody agrees that's what the factual scenario is. My question, but for me, and I'm just speaking for me and not the other members of the panel, for me, if the service department had no choice, it always has to write zero, then putting a lot of weight on the zero, for me, means 3.14 just doesn't apply ever. If, in fact, the factual scenario is they wrote zero, but they could have written something else, but they made some sort of calculation, then that would suggest there are situations where 3.14 could apply. And it just seems to me that we don't know the answer to whether or not the service department has the authority in an invalid enlistment scenario to write something different.
Your Honor, in this circumstance, what we have is a service department document that clearly indicates that he has no creditable service. 0 days, 0 months, 0 years. The chain of command had notified him that he was being released from the custody and control of the U.S. Army as a result of his actions. Army regulations provide that an individual to be released from military control pursuant to an administrative separation or determination that he is not currently a member of the Army cannot be legally discharged from the Army. Such individual will instead be released from the custody and control of the Army. Exactly the scenario that we have here. Here, the board found that the ABCMR, the Army Board for the Correction of Military Records, denied his application, noting that his administrative discharge, his type of discharge, and the reasons, therefore, were appropriate. There have been no further determinations regarding the appellant's release from the military service. What we have here, pursuant to Giroux, is that VA must rely upon the service department's determination as to whether someone has served in the U.S. Armed Forces. That's exactly the situation we have here.
Well, it's like Giroux is slightly different, right? I mean, so it seems to me that what that case is talking about, and it only had to deal with the case before it, was a situation where it really was a question about whether somebody ever was doing military things. I'm trying to avoid being in the service, right? The idea there was the Filipino, and were you in the right group? I can also imagine a scenario where I, for example, file a claim with VA and says, I was in the United States Navy. I wasn't. And the Navy says, we've never heard of this guy before. I think Giroux stands for the proposition that VA absolutely has to take that. And here, it seems to me, VA absolutely has to accept the fact that the enlistment is void. The 3.14 seems to me to say, though, that the consequence of the voided enlistment is dealt with under the regulation, as opposed to a Duro situation where it's a full stop.
Your Honor, under Duro, because there was no service department document, and they had to find and figure out how this person could have served being a part of the Filipino Army and affiliated with the United States Army, Giroux decided that where, and Judge Laura touched on this earlier with appellant's counsel, where VA believes that we have an authentic and accurate service department record and verification that a particular person served in the U.S. Armed Forces, VA is bound by that service department's determination as to service. Here, Mr. Lyle does not have any creditable service as a result of the service department documentation, and the record reflecting that he had repeatedly, on five separate occasions, February 1986, July 1988, March 1993, January 1999, October 2015, he sought an upgrade and correction of his uncharacterized discharge and voided enlistment. The Army Discharge Review Section noted, initially in August 1988, you were not given a characterization of service nor creditable service at the time of discharge. The ABCMR noted that while in February 2000, that while he knew that he would not have been enlisted unless he concealed his crime, while he might have learned this fact from the recruiter, he cannot transfer the blame for his fraudulent enlistment. Additionally, the ABCMR noted that the quality of his brief service does not outweigh the fact that he would not have been in the service at all if not for his own deception. As such, ultimately, this court found in the memorandum decision of Mullen v. McDonough in 2021, provided to this court for persuasive authority, that where a record of service lists a characterization as DNA or does not apply and further lists no active service, and the type of separation is listed as the release from custody control of the service as due to void enlistment, the outcome of the case turns on the fact of whether the person served, not an assessment of the nature of the service.
So, but if right, isn't the defense that you're mounting to the board decision really quite inconsistent with the board decision, right? Because the board decision goes out of its way to characterize the period of service as dishonorable. So my, which under my reading of what you're, my understanding of what you're just saying, you don't ever get there because there is no period of service to characterize. So I have two questions about that. Number one, the board seems to have not understood this in the way you're articulating. And is that a problem? And second, assuming that the board was correct in some measure to characterize a period of service here, how did it reach the determination that it was dishonorable?
Your Honor, to answer your first question, the very first page of the board decision states, the appellant's enlistment was voided, and there is no creditable service upon which to warrant basic entitlement to VA benefits. The board did find, based upon the overall weight of the evidence, that it did not support appellant's contentions that he was a veteran who had creditable service. So the board did, in fact, find and made factual findings that he had no creditable service upon which to warrant VA benefits.
And then it later went on and said that the period is dishonorable. And I'm just wondering, how did the board reach the conclusion that it's dishonorable? Because I would have thought if there was a period of service to characterize, the board would have gone to 3.12D.
Your Honor, the board is charged with giving and addressing all material issues of fact and law that may directly or tangentially impact appellant's claim. Here, what we have is we have a lot of regulations, we have a lot of law which may impact the overall status and the conditions of his discharge. However, ultimately, the board came to the conclusion that his entry-level separation following his uncharacterized service due to fraudulent enlistment voided his entire service in its entirety.
I got that. I'm just wondering about the – I'm just now focused that the board found that the period of service was dishonorable for VA purposes. As I understand it, the regulation 3.12D is what would allow the board to characterize a period of service. What in 3.12D allowed the board to conclude that it was dishonorable?
Your Honor, 3.12D did not cover – this particular circumstance. 3.12 covered general court martials, GCMs, mutiny or spying, moral turpitude, willful or persistent misconduct, homosexual acts. So in this particular case, the board didn't make a finding on 3.12D. The board made a finding that he had no creditable service at all, and it's the equivalent of a dishonorable discharge because only dishonorable discharges may not, under this now circumstance, may not be entitled to VA benefits.
Okay.
But didn't the board say, excuse me, that he engaged in fraudulent enlistment pursuant to 3.14B? Which is the felonies. And then the whole thing goes from there.
Yes, Your Honor. The board did reference 3.14B. However, the fraudulent enlistment occurred prior to his entering service or prior to the beginning of the enlistment. And
what does that have to do with it?
Because the board is charged with addressing every possible regulation that may directly or tangentially impact appellant's claim, which is also 3.14.
But you can only have a fraudulent entry before you enter.
Yes, Your Honor. That's why the board's ultimate finding was that the service department found that he had no creditable service upon which to warrant VA benefits, and that is consistent with 38 U.S.C. 1012.
So did the board, this is a follow-on to Judge Peach's question. So are you saying that the board engaged in the appropriate analysis under 3.14 and concluded it came within 3.14B? Or are you saying the board looked at the DD-214 and it said 0 days of creditable service and that was the answer? Because those are two distinct things.
Your Honor, ultimately, the board decision is filled with a lot of references between 101.2 as well as 3.14 A and B. And any error that the board may have exhibited or in this particular circumstance would be harmless. Because ultimately, if the board relies upon the overall legal landscape that the service department determined he had no creditable service, VA is bound by that determination.
So is it your view that the board relied on that, full stop? Or is your view that it went on to do an analysis under 3.14B? The reason I'm asking is, as Judge Peach's question suggests, that provision talks about a felony, and yet we have misdemeanors here, right? If the board is bound full stop by the zero of creditable service, then I agree with you. It would all be, much ado about nothing. If it's not, then it's unclear to me why the board determined that a section that refers to a felony applies to a misdemeanor here. So what's your view about that?
Yes, Your Honor, the board decision ultimately identified that he had no creditable service under 101.2 to qualify under the definition of veteran, and the analysis and discussion under 3.14B was unnecessary to have been added into this particular board decision. And while it may be error that the board addressed 3.14B because the overwhelming, the probative weight of the evidence demonstrates that he has no veteran status or no creditable service to warrant warrant VA benefits, the board decision should have and could have ended the discussion at that point. However, a remand to clarify that factual finding that the board did in fact make in their board decision would not change the overall landscape of whether Mr. Vile is a veteran, because the service department determined that he was not.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. So I wanted to address a few points. The first is that the secretary seems to be hanging their hat on a situation where would be a partial voidance of an enlistment contract. And I just wanted to point out, nothing in 3.14A talks about that it only applies where part of your service is voided. It just says where an enlistment is voided by the service department, service is valid from the date of entry upon active duty to the date of voidance by the service department. And I don't think that the secretary has provided a clear answer about what situations would apply under 3.14A, if not Mr. Lyle's situation. The second point that I wanted to make is that the secretary talked about a lot about the fact that the service department could have chosen not to void Mr. Lyle's enlistment or someone's enlistment. But I think it's important to understand that they also could have put a character of discharge on his DD-214. They could have said, you have avoided enlistment, therefore we're going to give you a dishonorable discharge and make it so you're not entitled to whatever benefits for an agency. But I think DOD created, and you can see it in even the Federal Register and 3.12K, why they created that provision, was because DOD decided to create this separate category of separation, which is an uncharacterized discharge. And I think the purpose of that is to defer. They don't want to make a character of service determination. They want to defer that determination to each agency so that agency can make that determination, determine whether they want to grant benefits to someone with this sort of discharge from the military. And then my third point is, and I think Judge Allen, you touched on this a bit, I don't understand Durow to be applicable in this case. I think that coupled with just the first sentence, the introductory sentence of 3.14, which I think the Secretary, those are just the two provisions that they rely on. They don't mean what the Secretary says they mean. This first sentence of 3.14 has to be read within the whole context of the regulation. If that sentence, service is valid unless the enlistment is voided by the service department, meant that every time an enlistment is voided, that person can't get benefits, what would be the purpose of even having 3.14 A through D? And I also think, again, my understanding of Durow is that was about whether there is service department verification, a document listed in, I think it's 3.203, of whether a person was ever in the U.S. military, right? And that was a case where it was a person who had served in the Philippine Army who was trying to, you know, they were trying to say he also served in the U.S. military. There was no document from the service department saying that he did. You know, in this case, again, we know Mr. Lyle was in the U.S. military. Like, he has a DD-214. He has an entrance date. He has a separation date. He received two letters of commendation during his time. He has personnel records. We know he served. And so I don't think that that case supports that in these circumstances, that it's whether it's the fact of whether he served. I think, again, it is a character of service determination. And then I guess my last point would just be, again, the board did not discuss, you know, any of what the Secretary argued. They didn't talk about really the 0 days on the DD-214. They really didn't talk about the purpose of 3.14A. In fact, they relied on the incorrect law. Not only did they rely on 3.14B, they also talked about 3.12K, which doesn't even apply in this case. So, you know, I think remand would still be warranted just for the board to clarify what regulation, what law it's even relying on to deny Mr. Lyle veteran status. Because I think anything else at this point would be post hoc rationalization by the Secretary.
Maybe you don't know the answer to this question, and again, that's fine, but when a applicant goes before the board to correct their record, is it just for the characterization of the discharge, or can they correct anything else on that record? To include the number of days that they say, well, no, I serve X days, or is it just for the characterization?
I will say I'm not 100% certain about this, but it is my understanding that there can be mistakes made on a DD-214. It happens, so someone can request, whether it's my birthday's wrong, the number of days is wrong, any of that. I believe that you can file an application to get those corrected. And then if it is going to be corrected, then they would void the previous DD-214 and then issue a new DD-214. That's my understanding.
This wasn't really brief, but it's part of the record. The two items in the record at pages 68 and 82, would it be the appellant's position that those should be considered to be favorable agency findings? These are the documents that were provided by VA for purposes of employment. What's the appellant's position on those?
Are you referring to the documents that Mr. Lyle submitted as well, saying that he did have an honorable...
March of 2020.
Yeah, it was like for purposes of health care...
Actually, it was for employment.
Purposes, oh, was it? Okay. Okay.
What is the, are those favorable findings in the appellant's opinion?
I think that they could be, especially because it could leave open the question of why were those issued, what's going on. Somewhere out there, maybe the service department, there could be a mix up. I'm not sure. I think Mr. Lyle talked about them, submitted them because he believed they were favorable. And
do we know anything about the story that led to these documents that seem to be entirely inconsistent with, number one, the board later saying that his service is characterized as dishonorable, but more fundamentally, the principle that the board in the decision we have says he effectively never served, meaning creditable discharge, but yet we have the agency twice telling apparently private employers that he is actually a veteran, number one, and number two, honorable. Do we have any idea how?
I don't know the context of that.
Fair enough.
Just to clarify, those two documents were, quote, furnished for use in establishing civil service preference.
So for government employees, then?
For purposes of, federal employment.
I think it could also just go to the point, this board decision is just very confusing. And I think everything that, even the administrative decision that this appeal generated from, relied on 3.14B and basically said, you had a fraudulent enlistment, it falls under 3.14B, we can't give you benefits. And I just think it's problematic that the board is misapplying the law in this case.
Just clarification on 3.14A, where the enlistment is voided by the service department. I just want to make it clear that you can get an enlistment voided for a number of reasons, not just fraudulent entry.
Yes, that's my understanding.
Okay. In the appellant's case, it was fraudulent entry.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else? Anything else? You still have a minute left.
I think I will just end with the holding that I think the court should make in this case. And I know I already said it, but just for clarification again, that in these circumstances where a claimant has an uncharacterized administrative separation from the military prior to October 1st, 1982, where that claimant was not statutorily prohibited from enlistment like Mr. Lyle, the court should analyze it under 38 CFR 3.14A.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We will now take the case under advisement, and the court is now dismissed. And we'll come down and meet the counsel.
All rise.